There was a newly ordained priest who was very nervous about doing his very first wedding. So he went to the elderly Monsignor for help. Monsignor, what do I do if I go blank? What do I do if I lose my place? And the Monsignor gave him very wise advice. Just quote a verse of scripture, and then you'll find your place again. So the wedding day arrived, and the new priest was officiating his first wedding. All went well up to the homily, but then he went completely blank, and he couldn't remember what he had prepared. So he said a little prayer to the Holy Spirit that a scripture verse would come to him, standing and staring out at the large congregation and turning his gaze toward the waiting bride and groom. He said the first words of scripture that came to his mind: Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Well, what I'd like to do is, normally I like to talk about the gospel, but I can't pass up talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul's famous treatise on love. It's the most beautiful passage probably in the entire New Testament, and we only hear it every 3 years in the three-year cycle of readings, so I can't pass up talking about St. Paul's definition of love. After having done over 1,000 weddings myself in the last 28 years, I can say by actual count that this passage, love is patient, love is kind, is the most popular reading at the weddings. Almost every wedding has it. The one that I rarely ever hear is, wives, be submissive to your husbands. For some reason, that one never shows up these days. But anyway, this passage is so beautiful. It's St. Paul's hymn to charity, his outpouring of the apostle's soul, which talks about the splendor and the beauty of love. And so what is a good definition of love? One author once said, love is blind, and marriage is a great eye-opener. But one of the best definitions I've heard of love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. That's what true love is, wanting the best for the other person, wanting them to go to heaven, wanting them to get close to God. Love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. And that's how we know that God loves us so much, because he sent his Son. True love is self-giving, it's self-donating, it's sacrificial. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Loving is giving. And God gave us his only Son to show us just how much he loves us. And so, of course, when St. Paul talks about love, I really think his is the best description in the history of the world about what is love. But notice, even the word love, in the Greek New Testament, there are four words for love. If you want to read a good book about this, read C.S. Lewis's book called The Four Loves, where he talks about, in Greek writing, there are four different words for love. You have philios, which is brotherly love. You have eros, romantic love. You have storge, which is patriotic love of country. But St. Paul, when he says love is patient, love is kind, he's using the word agape, or agape. And what does this word mean in the original language? Agape love is a total, sacrificial, self-giving love. And that is the kind of love that we're called to have. It's really an unconditional love. It's a kind of love where it says, for God so loved the world. It's this self-giving, self-donating, sacrificial love. So St. Paul goes on to say, he says, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. And he talks about faith, hope, and love. I will show you a still more excellent way. And then St. Paul says that no matter what he does, if he doesn't have love, it's worth nothing. He says, if I speak in human or even angelic tongues, like if he's the greatest preacher, greatest orator, but if he doesn't speak with love, it says, all he is a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. So we always, of course, want to speak with love, with charity. Otherwise, we are, he says, a clashing cymbal. St. Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, in other words, if he's a great theologian and knows everything about God or about Jesus, but if he doesn't have any love, it's not going to do him any good. Even if he was a prophet and knew all the mysteries and theology, if he didn't have love of God, it doesn't availeth him anything. Then he says, if I have faith to move mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. Imagine to have faith to be able to move mountains. That's a tremendous amount of faith. But remember what St. James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without love is dead. We don't want a dead faith, we want a living faith. So our faith has to be animated by charity. So it says, even if I have the faith to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And this is a good answer to those that you might meet that say that we're saved by faith alone, sola fide. That's not what the Bible says. Even St. Paul says, if you have faith to move mountains but don't have love, it will do you no good. So we are saved by God's grace that operates in our life through faith, hope, and love. And then he says, even if I gave away everything and handed over my body to be as a martyr, but if I did it for the wrong motive, if I didn't do it for love, I gain nothing. And now Paul concludes by giving his description of love. He tells us two things of what love is and eight things of what love is not. He says, love is patient, love is kind. So what does the word patient mean? The word patient comes from the Latin word patia, which means the ability to suffer well. A patient person suffers well. They don't get upset, they suffer well. You go to a hospital, you have doctors, and what do they call the people there? They call them patients, right? Because those are people that are there because they are suffering from an illness. And so Paul says, love is patient. Love is suffering well. Love is kind. What is kindness? It's showing others respect, compassion, mercy, and honor. And then he says, love is not jealous. What is the opposite of jealousy or envy? It's generosity. It's magnanimity. So love is generous. Love is not pompous. So in other words, love is not proud or arrogant. Love is humble and meek. He says, love is not inflated. Again, it's not boastful or proud. It is not rude. So the opposite of rudeness is respect and honor and kindness. Love does not seek its own interest. In other words, love is unselfish. Love is not quick-tempered. So it doesn't, you know, get angry easily. Love is, again, patient. Love does not brood over injuries. And love doesn't cultivate injuries. And love forgives and forgets and moves on. Love is forgiving. And love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. And his last sentence is, so faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? Because when you get to heaven, you no longer need faith and you no longer need hope. Think about that for a moment. What is faith? Faith is believing in something we cannot see. When you get to heaven and see God face to face, faith is replaced by sight. Faith is replaced by vision. In heaven, you don't need faith, because you see God face to face. On earth, we need hope. Hope is desire of something we do not yet possess. When you get to heaven and see God face to face, you possess God and he possesses you. Become one with God spiritually. And so in heaven, you don't need hope because you're there. You've made it. So you don't need faith. You don't need hope in heaven. But what do you need? Love. Love of God. And for all eternity, we get to gaze upon the beauty of God, the beatific vision, the vision of God that makes us truly blessed. So how do we get to heaven? Through love. Loving God and loving our neighbor. If you look at all 10 commandments, every one of the, at the heart of every commandment is love. Loving God above all things, respecting and loving His holy name, respecting and loving the Lord's day, honoring and loving your parents, loving and respecting the sanctity of life, marriage, other people's property, possessions. All 10 commandments at the basis can be boiled down to loving God and loving neighbor. When I was a kid, my dad and I would drive down to Berryville, Virginia from Philadelphia to make a retreat. And in the retreat house was a banner, and it was from John of the Cross. I still remember it when I was a teenager. John of the Cross says, "In the evening of life, we will be judged on how much we have loved. In the evening of life, we'll be judged on one thing, how much we have loved. How much we've loved God, how much we have loved others." And there was one other quote that I remember seeing once and made a profound impression. It said, "Only one life that soon is past, only what's done with love will last." Again, only one life that soon is past, only what's done with love will last.